So this is like just a little light. It's a little tiny like flicker of possibility of change. And it's tough. It's like a candle like in the wind, you know, but it's still going. It is a definite challenge in these circumstances because we're kind of creating like a favela, you know, like a Bantustan, a kind of a refugee camp for people who just really want to see things differently by any means possible, even if it means starting from almost scratch.
Across North America, a crackdown has begun on Occupy encampments, with gatherings in New York, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, and Toronto, among others, being served notices of eviction or being removed by force. Among the arguments used to rationalize these expulsions is in the interest of public safety, that the improvised shelters and structures are unsafe, that there are fire hazards, isolated incidents of drug abuse, the presence of the homeless, drug addicted, and those suffering from social difficulties. Critics have pointed to these issues to create an impression within the mainstream media that the Occupy encampments are hotbeds of violence, danger, and abuse. The Occupy movement is inclusive and does not discriminate against persons who wish to join. This has presented challenges which the groups are attempting to navigate within a horizontal, non-hierarchical structure with extremely limited means. An article in the November 9th edition of the Montreal Gazette is quick to point out these organizational issues without attempting to conceptualize or explore the roots. The article zeroes in on substance abuse issues within the encampment, which has attracted those seeking shelter and community while living in the streets. Since the November 5th death of Ashley Goh in Vancouver of what the coroner has called a mixed overdose, critics of the movement have called for the forced removals of Occupy camps under the auspices of public safety. Organizers within the Occupy movement have taken steps to create a healthy community, with medics and social outreach teams comprised of volunteers present around the clock to act as mediators in case of conflict, and vital first aid in case of injury. I had a chance to speak with these volunteers and others about the health and safety of those occupying People's Square.
Maxime Poulin, and then where I am implicated, comptoir des dons, comptoir du peuple, comptoir de donation en tout cas. Thing till medic, I have my first aid, RCR, and then DEA. So with that, like there are sometimes nurse or paramedic people that are in the telemedic team too, but we are here when we can be, so we're pretty a lot of people on that I'm on the telemedic. I've often a CB. Some telemedic like are just medic or sometimes on a security too. Me, I have like the psychological intervention, like because I go in psychoeducation. So honestly, like sometimes I'm like more the mediator between security that I've about 95% of psychological intervention. Sometimes that people that we know that can be some dangerous or because they are external, and we treat the problem in few minutes and then we pass to other things and the calm is back. Like if I am just listen to people and it's calm down, okay, and when the security like can arrive or do their intervention, like the people are less aggressive, or you know. So, as my neutrality of medic, I use it to be a psychological intervention.
My name is Eric. What role I'm doing? I'm mixed up in 8 committees. I'm part of one. It's called safety and health and safety. That group is to make sure that everybody's secure here. And I'm part of the legal committee, the one that do mediation with the police, the city, and the firemen, all those organizations that keep coming here. And we're trying to organize now a way of keeping everybody safe, even if everything is safe here. We do have people that come from outside the site that are trying to come inside and consume drunk people, alcoholic or junkies, and sadly, we're not built to help them, but now we just got a class of students of social worker from University of Montreal that are showing up. There's another few classes that are going to show up today too that want to get involved. So we got basically almost 45 students and social worker that want to get involved. But you need to have the tool to learn how to deal with those type of clientele. So the best thing at the moment is to have knowledge from others that can help us so we can make better intervention with people and not just to ask them to leave. can refer them to the right places, but when you're missing tools and soldiers to fight a battle, you cannot always act with logic in terms of you don't have time to take the time to sit down and see, okay, can we call La Maison du Père like Ebano or any type of organization who help those type of people. So at the moment, that's what we're working on, but there's no violence. If there's some, it's people outside the site that something happens. So there's nothing really related to Occupy Montreal. There's no arrest made on any occupiers. It's always somebody that comes out of nowhere and just do graffiti on the statue and gets arrested. Two people that are homeless are part of the movement. They're doing, it's called the truck. It's a way of giving a hand in many different type of situation. And many of them told us thanks for giving us a chance for doing this and that. And there's many who are doing dishes, passing the broom everywhere, trying to help with the kitchen or trying to help other ways of anything they have to help. And those people, I don't mind. I will give him my meal if I have to. I don't care to give my plate for a person who wants to be part of it. But the others just want to come and show here and drink and get messed up. It's not a place for that. We're trying to have an ideology behind the movement. It's a peaceful one where we respect each other and not a place where you just consume and get messed up. We don't want to call the police. We don't want to call the ambulance because you're just drunk. You're drunk and it doesn't deserve to be jailed. And that goes with Bill C-10. That's what they're going to do now. You're drunk, jail. Smoke a joint, jail. Makes no sense. That's what we don't want to do, and we're not fascists. We're just human.
The sensationalizing of the difficulties faced by members of the Occupy movement has distracted members of the public, the core goals of the group, which is to address the economic inequality that exists in the social systems that we have today.
Je trouve que c'est une belle vertu, c'est un beau projet. Le message, malheureusement, est peut-être pas clair. Si on n'est pas au courant puis qu'on vient juste se promener dans le square, on a l'impression que c'est un peu n'importe quoi. Mais c'est l'idée en arrière de tout ça est peut-être mal véhiculée, je dirais. On se demande en fait pourquoi est-ce qu'il y a autant de sans-abri qui se promènent alors que dans le fond le message est peut-être pas sur place, sur les lieux, il est pas véhiculé. Ben je pense que ça distrait les gens du message principal. C'est sûr qu'on devrait s'occuper des gens marginalisés, mais je pense que c'est pas le message principal Occupons Montréal. Pour l'instant, c'est ce que les gens voient, c'est ce que les gens pensent qui est la problématique majeure, je dirais. Mais j'ai l'impression que c'est tout ce qu'on voit, alors que c'est pas ça le message. Et que je me demande si c'est le moyen d'occuper physiquement un territoire, c'est la meilleure façon de passer son message.
To say that homelessness and poverty are a distraction further illustrates the disconnect between the occupiers and members of the public who may not understand the implications of the economic system upon the health and well-being of their fellow citizens. One cannot separate the symptoms from the disease, and in a fight for social, economic, and political equality, one must address and be inclusive of the people who have been marginalized the most. Despite the difficulties involved with operating a micro-society, the members of the movement remain optimistic and to feel that despite the message of the mainstream media, that the public is behind them.
Just with some sondage, you can see that 70% of the Montreal population is for that movement, and I just think we just need to talk about it. We just need to talk about it because it's an ignition in the people's mind to realize there's something else. You know, here we're trying to fight for a better system, but actually we are living a new system, a community that is totally different. I mean, I'm sure that everybody that comes here feels something, feel the energy, and this is something we miss maybe.
Starting from scratch within a larger system that's giving us a lot of donations and a lot of help and a lot of energy also, and without the support of the public, you know, this would have been quieted immediately. But people, they do want to see this. They want to see something real that is actually coming from organic human thought, however flawed it might be, because we're really relearning, we're remembering ourselves.
2 years ago, a man living in the downtown east side suffered massive burns when he was doused with lighter fluid and set ablaze after falling asleep on a curbside couch. The situation has been allowed to perpetuate and has resulted in the ghettoization of the borough, allowing those marginalized by debilitating social, economic, and medical issues to be further swept out of sight in what is becoming a city made for the rich. The social factors that create this situation cannot be ignored. Perhaps the greatest virtue of the Occupy movement is its ability to create community, bringing together wide varieties of skills, motivations, and experience where there may have been no interaction before.
How do you feel as an organization? I mean, the logistics of doing something like this is very, very difficult, of course. But do you feel like the health and safety needs of the people here are being met?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, above that, not just being met, but people are being healed. I think, like, socially, psychologically, and there's definitely a lot of learning that's happening.
So are we talking about more kind of learning how to have an alternative community, or are we talking political learning, or are we talking about...
I think all sorts of exchanges are happening, because this movement, it's attracted so many different people from everywhere. Just like little things that you can learn that you might not necessarily like adopt into your like belief system, but just to know that they exist. And it's just a way to have like a direct effect on the decisions that are being made within the community in which you're living. Instead of like electing someone, we don't have any like leaders, official leaders here. We just all go and all express our opinions. We all have the time and the opportunity to express ourselves, and based on the feelings of the group, it's also very intuitive and emotional. Based on the feelings of the group, you know, that's how the road gets created as we go along.
So, and I mean, it's not without its difficulties as well. You're dealing with a lot of different people, a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different interests, a lot of different motivations as well. So naturally, this is going to attract any variety of people, just as any micro-society would, as any society as a whole would. There are certain needs people have that are sometimes difficult to fulfill. Either they have drug addiction issues, or they have mental health problems that veer them towards more aggressive personality types or anything like that. And it's a challenge within any society to try to help and try to do what we can to make sure that everybody is in a good place. Here you have medics and you have social outreach people. Mm-hmm. In your experience, how effective has that been?
I think the most effective thing is the community itself, because let's say if we're talking about like mental illness, problems of mental illness, we just call something like schizophrenia or like bipolar syndrome or whatever it is. We just kind of like categorize it that way and medicate it, because it's so different from the kind of like controlled, kind of like almost automated reaction system that we have as... We're like trained from a very, very young age, like dogs or like elephants, you know, to kind of like sit down and listen and do as we're told and think a certain way and talk to certain people. And we're also very segregated from one another. So an environment like this, which allows like young students and artists and just politically minded people and spiritually minded people to interact with, let's say, people who have been on the street for years and years, who maybe like older men, for example, who are, you know, a little scruffy looking, you know, who don't have the cleanest clothes. It allows them to interact with like young, really animated, vibrant people, and that gives them like energy and hope and love and kind of like will to survive and to contribute in much better ways, even though they might be hypersensitive people that would be diagnosed as, you know, having some kind of social psychosis or something like that. But violence is not at all tolerated on the camp. Like, we have certain instances of, you know, screaming and venting of frustrations. I mean, everyone has their own way of expressing, and definitely, like you said, different personalities meeting together can cause really kind of disproportionate reaction. But I found that we've dealt with it. Like, as long as you approach people with peace, kindness, and acknowledgement, like just like respecting them for what they are and just acknowledging, because most people just want to be like heard, you know? They just want the opportunity to express themselves. And if you give them that, and with the additional medication of just kindness and like human contact, whether it's eye contact or just like physical contact when it's warm or when it's cold, you know. I don't know, it's just such an incredibly healing experience, and it's amazing for me to participate in this because I feel like I have a lot to give. And if you're stuck in a job, in a cubicle, or if you're stuck in your house on the internet, you don't have a chance to have that direct impact on your community. And it's the same thing with direct democracy. It's like direct healing. Like, this is like, I feel like I'm actually contributing and making a lot of other people's lives better just by being here, just by smiling and doing the things that I love to do, like painting and music and cooking and decorating, you know, just smiling.
There's a fluid relationship that creatures have with each other and their environment that needs to be fostered, and this is a community where you're trying to do just that. Do you feel that there is a homeostatic relationship within this camp? Do you feel that people are committed towards at least committing or putting in as much as they can for the means that they have, capability they have, and the emotional?
Definitely. We're recognizing each other more and more as family.
I would like to leave you with the words of Michel Simard, who is founder of Le Havre, a shelter in Trois-Rivières, Quebec. He had this to say regarding the social roots of poverty. Homelessness may be seen as a way of inhabiting the space created by the breakdown of the social bond, of weaving one's very nest out of the despair of the world.